This is a true crime and real-time roundup from the On Deadline podcast. We dive into crime stories covered by Odyssey newsrooms across the country. I'm your host, Lauren Berry. The Memorial Day holiday kicked off the unofficial start of summer in the U.S. last weekend. And with warming temperatures, some communities have reported that crime is heating up. According to data from the Bureau of Justice Statistics, more crimes do tend to happen in the summer. In this episode, we'll check in with some responses to a recent crime uptick, including two officer-involved cases in Buffalo, New York. In another officer-involved case out of Pennsylvania, a man with a criminal record allegedly tried to kill a police officer before authorities fatally shot him. Was it safe for him to be out on the streets? In the town of Wilkinsburg, Pennsylvania, police killed an armed 38-year-old man named Jonathan Simmons. Simmons had a criminal record. But while he was armed, reports indicate that he didn't fire his gun and that no officers were injured in the incident. Here's some more information on the case from Marty Griffin out of Odyssey Station KDKA in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
I'm sitting here, I've been thinking about this since last night when a bunch of people sent me that insanely dramatic video of that Wilkinsburg man with two guns trying to kill a cop. I always trying to figure out why. Why did he do that? I'm sitting here looking at his picture. Looks like a kid. He's 38. This is what's kind of weird to me. Now, in case you haven't heard this, I started getting texts that this guy wanted to kill a cop. He had two guns. He went running at cops. He had every intention of killing a cop last night. I listened to this clip by county police, and then I'll get into some of his background and what the hell might have gone on here. Listen.
The officer, while patrolling, encountered this male who was armed with a handgun. He was displaying the gun to the officer. He was saying a lot of things, taunting the officer. The officer exited the vehicle. This is all according to witnesses that were in the area. The male displayed the firearm, displayed the handgun. The officer gave him numerous verbal commands to drop the firearm. The male did not drop the gun. The officer engaged, fired at the male, and the male went down.
If you watched the video, it's hard to watch. I posted it on X. It's incredibly dramatic. It's the acting chief in Wilkinsburg as he maneuvers around his car trying to get shot to death. And then he opens the car door trying to grab his rifle. And then this suspect is shot and later dies. And there's a couple theories here, and I'm going to throw them at you. Let me throw this at you, though. If you think this guy's a hardened criminal that should be in jail right now, I kind of raise this issue. He has not been in jail, confined in jail, since 2014. Now, that tells me one of two things. Either A, he got his act together, or B, he didn't, but just didn't get caught. But he's dead this morning. And we're lucky, quite frankly, that a cop isn't dead. I mean, it was that bad. If you watch that video, it's insane. And he was begging them. He wanted to shoot a cop. And he didn't listen to one command. Now there's two theories here. Number one. And let me get through his prior arrest first, in case you're trying to figure out his background. Firearms charges, terroristic threats charges, receiving stolen property charges. He's no saint. Robbery with intention of inflicting serious bodily injury. Robbery of a motor vehicle. More firearms charges. More terroristic threats charges. Assault charges. Recklessly endangering another person charges. He has several pages of charges. I'm not suggesting he's a saint. But what I'm suggesting is the young man hasn't been in jail since 2014. That's a big, big, big gap from what we can find. And if you see his picture, he has this baby face. And there's one of two things that are being floated this morning as to what could have happened. Number one, that he was high. High as a kite. Kind of out of his mind high. Kind of delusional high. And didn't know what the hell he was doing. And had these two illegal firearms, which is a whole nother issue that plagues America, right? In many of these communities, like Wilkinsburg. And with all, for all intents and purposes, he wanted to kill that police officer, the acting chief in Wilkinsburg. And thank goodness he was not hurt. If you watch the video, it's amazing he wasn't shot. The other thing that's being floated out there, and I've kind of closely watched this my entire career. It's called suicide by cop. And what happens is, these are folks, I'm just trying to be real with you, these are folks that want to die in a blaze of glory every year. And it's an incident where they intentionally engage cops. Look, I've seen them run out of their house with a screwdriver pointed, a butter knife pointed, and cops don't know that. They think it's a gun. Suicide by cop. Describe an incident in which a suicidal individual intentionally engages in life-threatening and criminal behavior with a lethal weapon or what appears to be a lethal weapon to provoke officers to shoot the suicidal individual in self-defense. They found several hundred of these cases a year. 150 to 200 cases of suicide by cop a year. I don't know what happened here. We haven't talked to someone who knows this young man, Jonathan Simmons, 38 years old, of Wilkinsburg. But there's several issues that concern me and should concern you. Number one, illegal firearms. Number two, the out of control, I want to kill a cop attitude that was heard at the scene by cops just trying to take cover and defend themselves. And number three, that he may have wanted cops to take him out. And what concerns me is several issues. The firearms, the drug issue, the danger issue that cops face on the streets every single day. And they never know who the hell wants to kill them. It's sad that this young man's dead. It's awful that he's dead. Awful. And maybe somehow at some point we'll try to understand, but he has not been in jail since 2014. Which makes me wonder why. Why he wanted to die last night. And thank goodness for the actions of police officers involved that saved that cop's life, the acting chief of Wilkinsburg. Jonathan Simmons is dead. We may never know why. We know how. We know that circumstance. This is the threat that cops face on the streets every single day of their lives. Awful.
Officer-involved incidents have also made headlines recently in Buffalo, New York. On the same day that Simmons was shot, a Buffalo police officer was shot multiple times while responding to a call on the city's east side. That shooting came just days after another officer was stabbed during an officer-involved shooting. Here's Odyssey station WBEN News and Talk with the report.
A Buffalo police officer shot multiple times while responding to a call on the city's east side yesterday afternoon. WBEN's Brayton Wilson has the details.
Just a few days following an officer-involved shooting in Buffalo's east side neighborhood along Broadway, another shooting involving city police officers took place at a residence just a few blocks away on Sherman Street.
Around 2:15 this afternoon, officers were dispatched to 256 Sherman Avenue. The call came in as a female asking for help, that her husband had locked her in a room, taken her phone, had a pistol, and had threatened to sodomize her.
That's Buffalo Police Commissioner Erica Shields. field. When officers arrived at the residence, they gained entry into the house with the help of a family member of the suspect wanting to get help for their loved one. After trying to arrest the suspect, getting one handcuff on him in the kitchen, the suspect then pulled out a concealed weapon on him and fired shots that struck one officer multiple times in the legs as well as the shoulder and the arm area. Officers then returned fire and struck the suspect multiple times as well. Both men were transported to ECMC to be treated for their injuries following an incident that all unfolded within a time span of about a minute. Shields was able to briefly see the veteran officer of 9 years on the force after the shooting.
He was in a great deal of discomfort. He's got surgery before him, but he was alert and speaking. So we're very grateful for that. Everybody just said he is the nicest guy and has nothing bad to say about anyone, is constantly upbeat. So there was a lot of emotion around him as an individual.
Shields adds officials were in the process Tuesday evening of securing warrants to search the house, as it was rumored that there were other guns the suspect may have owned. Brayton Wilson, WBEN. News.
Brayton, thank you. This is one of several recent violent incidents on the east side. In just the past few weeks, there was a shooting in which a person was shot in the neck and legs on Monday. Saturday, there was a man shot multiple times on Walden Avenue. A Buffalo police officer was stabbed by a suspect on Broadway near Liddell. Commissioner Shields was asked about this spike in violence.
They appear random. There seems to be a lot of one-offs, as opposed to a connection or gang activity. But certainly we are sitting down and developing summer plans to address this, you know, what is becoming problematic very early in the summer season.
Buffalo Police Benevolent Association President John Davidson joined WBEN to discuss the recent incidents.
First, John, do you have any update for us? How is the officer doing?
So first I can say that the officer is stable, and we'd love to continue with all the prayers we're receiving, all the goodwill we're receiving. We want to pray for this officer and his family. We want to pray for the medical staff at ECMC to continue the care that they're giving. And just thank you from the citizens and the people that have reached out to the PBA and to this member for his heroic actions.
Yeah, a lot of people reaching out. I mean, this does go to show how dangerous the job can be. You'd have to imagine that, you know, a lot of people, when they hear this, so when this happened, you know, it's an afternoon call, maybe a routine check-in, and then all of a sudden the worst thing imaginable happens out of this.
Certainly. So, yes, I was on my way from a funeral for John Evans, who passed away 11 months into retirement. So going from that event where a gentleman like him did so much for so many people, reflecting on that, I'm on my way to headquarters for a debriefing on an officer that was stabbed just earlier this week. While I'm on my way to that, I am rerouted to ECMC for an officer that sustained gunfire. Both of these incidents happened in the middle of the day in the city of Buffalo.
What is going on? It just seems in the last couple of weeks, a spike in violence has really risen around the city. What are you seeing?
Sure. I think there's a few prongs to this. I think you're running into the fact that crime tends to go up, not just in Buffalo, but in most cities, especially cold weather cities. Crime does tend to spike in the summer months. We're finally, after a very long winter, experiencing some heat. I also don't think it's any secret that we are severely understaffed. The mayor's office new budget calls for 814 officers. We are currently 100 below that. Also, I think 814 might also be a little low. So we're short anywhere from 100 to 200 officers in the city of Buffalo. Everyone has been talking about how crime has been historic lows for the last 2 years. The PBA has been warning that that rubber band will snap at some point. You've got more officers retiring than you can recruit. Last year, we had double the number of retirees that we've had in any year in the previous five. This year, to combat 47 retirees, we've only hired five, and one of them has already left, said this wasn't for them. So we're trying to replace 47 officers with four. In addition to that, we've had almost double-digit retirements already this year. I don't think it's shocking to know that that's probably driven by a lot of factors. One, I would say the biggest would be that we've been out of contract for 331 days. And without a contract, it's difficult to maintain the staffing you have, retain the officers that are working, and it's also hard to recruit officers. I don't think it's any secret that throughout the entire state, departments are having trouble bringing in new officers. the departments that are having success are giving it the more benefits or more fringe benefits or higher pay or something to draw in new recruits. We've been out of contract for 331 days. I think now is a great time to sit down with the city and come up with some way to continue to keep the officers we have and to recruit future officers.
Well, it's, kind of a situation here where you have all these events going on at one time, and I'm wondering how the police department reacts. What's your conversation been like with the police commissioner about how she is looking to react? Because she's brand new to the job and now dealing with this in the first couple of weeks. How is she reacting to the spat of crime on the east side?
Well, I will say that it's baptism by fire, right? She's not new to policing. She's been a police officer for decades in cities that also have high violent levels. So I wouldn't say she's overwhelmed by this by any means. She seems to be willing to work with the PBA. She seems to be willing to learn from those around her. I think former interim commissioner, current deputy commissioner Macy has been an incredible resource. I think they're working together. I know with yesterday's incident, it was reassuring to hear that immediately when this happened, the deputy commissioner Macy went to the scene, immediately shut down streets so that the ambulance could get to ECMC impeded and in the quickest possible fashion. I think at the same time, the commissioner immediately went to the hospital to begin working with me and the members to make sure that this is a seamless event. I don't think we're at a point these days in the city of Buffalo where labor and management have to bang their heads against each other. We're looking to work together. We want all boats to rise in a high tide. But I do think that the city of Buffalo needs to sit down and work out a contract to continue that.
Murray Holman was on with us earlier this morning, an East Side leader who said there is a proliferation of guns on the street, especially ghost guns. What are your officers seeing?
Yeah, we're seeing illegal guns all over the city of Buffalo. They're coming from all over. They're coming from basements where they're being made with 3D printers. They're coming from other states across state lines. They're coming from all over the place. They're being stolen and then used in crimes. This is a very dangerous time to be a police officer in the city of Buffalo. I think it's important to note that these officers, I can't speak a whole lot to yesterday's incident until the department wants to release certain information, but I can tell you regarding the stabbing where the officer was stabbed on Broadway earlier this week, that officer had complete and total coverage under Article 35 in the penal law of New York State to fire his weapon at that gentleman long before he started with de-escalation verbal techniques. They attempted taser. Then he went hands-on with a gentleman who had two edged weapons, and he did, of course, sustain a puncture wound because of that and slashing from a box cutter. And he then, with no other options, and long after he was totally authorized and justified, did have to fire upon that gentleman. He then immediately went to work saving that man's life by then kicking the knife out of his hand and administering first aid before he then went to the hospital to be treated for his stab wound. So I think it's important to note that our officers, the force use of force continuum states that you can use and you are authorized and you are advised to use one level higher than the force that you are being met with. And our officers routinely become superheroes, the kinds that you see in movies and comic books, where they decide, I'm going to go hands-on and try and save a life. These officers are committed to preventing the loss of life.
WBEN also spoke to Murray Holman with Stop the Violence Coalition and Peacemakers about how the community is working to quell violence.
Murray, there have been several recent incidents, two officer-involved shootings, stabbings, shootings. What are you noticing, and is this going to be a long, hot summer?
Yes, it's definitely going to be a long, hot summer, but the spike that usually takes place when warm weather hits Buffalo or Western New York, and we see most folks going out into the community, trying to solve beefs, whatever that might be. And then, our data has been down for the city of Buffalo and Western New York for violence, especially with gun violence. And now here it is, we get this spike, and it just makes the work a little bit harder for us in the community.
Yeah. What is it that changes? I mean, you see so many differences year to year in how kids are communicating, how things happen, but one thing remains constant. It's almost as soon as we get 70 degrees or something like that, we get a spat of violence. How come that remains constant throughout the years?
Well, you have most folks in our community that they're outside now. Most of your beefs from social media to young kids fighting gang violence, those spike up when they can catch you most vulnerable out, and you're supposed to be out trying to have a good time and be, you know, life worthy. And incidents that you might have had during the winter time comes back up, and here we are with, you know, flux of violence happening. But even with the two shootings with the police, Buffalo Police Department, you know, situations happen and things, you know, escalate to, you know, shots fired. You know, we have to question that. Our society has been, used to seeing things like this happening, not just in Western New York, but across America. It's just the gun. I mean, not to take away Second Amendment rights for folks, you know, try to protect yourself or their families. It's just this gun issue is just so prevalent throughout our whole community.
Murray, talk to us about the availability of guns on the street. What do you know about it?
The availability of guns on the street, thanks to Governor Hochul and others in legislation, the availability of to purchase guns is more stricter. But then you have, you know, now the ghost gun is more popular in the community, and especially in urban communities. Ghost guns are made up and they're not traceable. We see a lot of those now. And then homes that's broken into in your, you know, your urban in your rural neighborhoods don't get reported, and these guns flow in. Then, especially being that we are borderline to Pennsylvania, to Ohio, guns come through here, and they sold on our streets for like less than $200-$300. And then now these guns are found up in, you know, as scenes of, you know, crimes being committed on our community.
There's always something different, as we talked about before. What's different with what you're doing, what other community groups are doing this year in terms of outreach and those things that we're so used to seeing from the peacekeepers and other groups?
Great. Thanks to, Mark Polenkars, our county exec, some years ago when COVID was prevalent in our community, he called us up, our organization, Stop the Violence Coalition, and said, what can he do? They came up with a program, the YEP program, that program is designed for young kids to stay out of trouble during high peaks of crime in the community from 4 o'clock to 9 o'clock. They're actually working in our group with Stop the Violence Coalition, call them colleagues. They're there to quote a beast, see what's going on. This program is designed to ask on application to ask, have you ever been involved in gun violence? Have you, you know, those type of questions are on application so they can get the help and the resources through the public, you know, concerns to make it work. That has been successful. It's going on for about 7 years, and it's great that that program is out there to quell beasts and violence. And then you have the E program with Back to Basics and other organizations. So we don't make any money. I don't make any money from it, but the kids, they get paid $16.50 an hour to be off our street, and you can look at that data and know it's successful. And we give them skills to teach them about, you know, going to college and, you know, being successful, not to pick up a gun, how to resolve their beefs. They actually have a radio show and a TV show that they do, and they talk to community leaders to see how can they help. And it's important that with our new mayor that they meet with him and then give them their concerns and issues about what's on their mind. We're out of tune about this generation young folks out here in our community about why are they fighting, why are they using guns. It's a different type of breed going on right now. It's not like before when we were doing like 90 to almost 80 homicides in the city of Buffalo. We're not having those numbers, but the kids are a little bit younger. We have the age of 12 and 13 year olds using guns more. Before it was like 16, 17 year olds using guns.
Buffalo isn't the only town where there have been concerns about teens and preteens committing crimes. For example, teen takeover incidents in Chicago have been making headlines. Here's political editor Jeff Buckles of Odyssey Station WBBM News Radio in Chicago covering last weekend's crime statistics, which might be a bit surprising.
The mayor told reporters here that the city's numbers confirmed no one was killed over the holiday weekend and shootings were down.
Communities across our city still felt the impact of an intolerable level of violence.
That includes Monday night's gathering at 57th Street Beach that moved into nearby Hyde Park. Officers arrested 53 people and seized 9 weapons.
We will not accept any act that places Chicagoans in danger.
And even though the mayor suggests most of the so-called teen takeovers in the city are shut down before they happen, last week's surge of activity has sparked new calls from city council for additional tools to punish parents whose children are involved.
There are already laws in the books that do that.
Should they be changed?
I mean, that's a legislative question.
He did not advocate for any specific change, nor would he comment on the concept of tougher punishment, saying it would be irresponsible to do so without seeing an actual proposal.
Thank you so much for listening to this True Crime Roundup from the On Deadline podcast. This episode was written and produced by me, Lauren Berry. Special thanks to Marty Griffin of KDKA in Pittsburgh, WBEN News and Talk in Buffalo, and WBBM News Radio in Chicago. You can find these programs on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts. You can find these True Crime Roundups by subscribing to the On Deadline podcast, the Who Killed Strawberry podcast, or the Bitter Academia podcast on the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.